All right. Thank you, Lisa. It's a great time in your Christian life when you get to the place telling the Lord you'll go. Amen. You'll do what he wants you to do. Thank you for that message and song. We appreciate all of those that have had a part in the music here in our mission conference that's been geared toward, and including this little course that Brother Bert has taught us concerning missions. And we've had a good mission conference. Started off there on Wednesday night, and that's good services on Wednesday night and Thursday, and then again today. And appreciate it very much. We have Brother Knickerbocker back with us with a couple of our missionaries tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to him. Brother Scotty had to be gone this morning, but I see him back there tonight. We had a good time this morning, Brother Scotty. And due to some circumstances following the hurricane and the airports closing and all, they didn't get all the missionaries over that we normally do. But we appreciate these that have been with us and doing a good job. Brother Silas there that we've been supporting for about 9 years, and good to see him. Brother Knickerbocker, I want you to come up and you'll introduce the missionaries and just go ahead and take the program here for us.
Okay. Thank you so much, Pastor. Well, Lisa, that was good. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Jawohl. Sehr gut. Where is she? There you are. That was good. Are you from Germany or? Oh, missionaries? Missionary? No? Born and raised there? Wow. That's good. That was, how many knew she was singing in German tonight? You kind of know her, I guess. There you go. Amen. That was good. I took German lessons in seventh grade, I think it was, and learned a little bit, not much, just enough to get started and get myself in trouble. Amen. Y'all been there and done that before. We're glad for our two missionaries that are here tonight, Brother Michael from Nigeria, West Africa, and then our Brother Silas, from Burma, and you heard from both of them already a little bit. How many were here Wednesday night? Almost everybody. Okay. So on the way in, I said, now, fellas, you got to tell them something you didn't tell them the first time. And so they got thinking, well, I didn't touch on this. I said, that's good. Well, I didn't touch on that. Well, let's do that then. So they're going to try and keep it fresh and alive here, I guess. And Brother Michael, why don't you come first? And then right after him, Brother Silas, you come up, and we can just hear it from you folks for a few minutes.
Yep. It's good to be home again tonight. I was glad to be here last Wednesday. It's a great privilege to be here. I want to do the song I did on Wednesday, but I'm going to do both stanza, the first and the second stanza. But I'm going to sing it in my dialect. So I want to speak in tongue tonight. I just hope people will be able to just hope people will be able to decode that. Ireni pinte mi la lai ojugbo bohore lo tayota yoni moji when you speak in tongues, you have to translate that. What I just sung is that my everlasting portion, more than friend or light to me. All along my pilgrim journey, only let me walk with thee. We want to get closer as best as we can to the Lord. That's the only way we can get the strength to go. You know, at times it can be worrisome, at times it can be wearisome, and at times it can be so discouraged, especially when you're on the mission field. But when you get closer to the Lord, He supplies the strength every day. So you can go to places with Christ, anywhere with Jesus, which shall always be my team, I can safely go. So it's always good tonight. I told us about that. God said, I'm a product of your effort. I was led to Christ by an American missionary in the second week of June, precisely on the 11th of June, 1996, through the work of a missionary. I got to know Christ. I've been living my own self-righteousness of my life. And it's highly amazing what the Lord has done in our life ever since then. I was later called into the ministry, went to Bible college, graduated, working as a church planter in Bible college, came out, God led me to the mission field to start a church. We started a church, have different kind of ministry under the church. God has helped us to raise some tools to the glory of His name. You know, some workmen in the service of the Lord, some pastors on the field, church planter who are working out there. And not only that, God really also brought in our heart also to plant 3 new more churches in the coming year. I'm supposed to be in Uganda on the 28th of February, by the grace of God, that I will spend 6 days in Uganda, then move to Rwanda, spend another 6 days, then the remaining 6 days will be in Tanzania. These 3 countries are going to be visited on a stretch. We are not going to return back to Nigeria until we finish the 3 countries. We need your prayer. You know, a lot of challenges on African continent. Muslims are doing their best to make sure they cover all the place, and the Lord is also moving for a way for us to have opportunity to preach the gospel. One of these, what happened in Zimbabwe, not quite long, God removed the president because he's an anti-Christian. It's our prayer that God will continue to work like that so that we can have a lot of open door. One of our group was actually in Zimbabwe about 3 years ago. He was detained at the point of entry for 14 hours, and he was deported right away. So, you know, we face this kind of problem most of the time, and this trip are really very, very expensive trip. You know, it's going to cost at least one person about 1,005, 2,000 thereabout. I know when 4 or 5 missionaries are going there, and you get to the point of entry, and you are being turned back, you know how discouraged we're going to be. But when we're working with Christ, we are always encouraged. We can always move on. We are so excited about going because what the Lord did last time in Kenya, I told us, in 2 weeks, last 2 weeks we spent in Kenya in March, God helped us to reach over 8,000 for Him. And we are so excited about reaching a lot of people. American missionary have done so much for us by coming to reach Africa. It is our time we motivate our own brothers too to go out there and reach our people by ourselves. So we need your prayer. We want you to continue to pray for us. When I get home next week, we are having another widows program I told you about. The pastor that I put in charge has already organized one, and it's going to be great. I'm so excited about it. It's a ministry that is targeted after Muslims, and we want to use that to wrap up the year. Pray that God will bring as many of them that will come, that God will provide for the needs for the program, and that many Muslim souls shall be saved. Continue to pray for us as we are looking forward. When I return from the trip next year, I'm looking forward towards between April and June, the first church will be started by the grace of God. You need to pray that God will bring this into fulfillment. And later in the year, as God gives us helping hands, we want to start the remaining 2 churches in 2 remote villages. Please pray for us. We appreciate all your prayer. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your love. You know, it's really a great encouragement coming to this part of the world. Know that there are people that believe what you believe, think the way you think, love what you love, and they have heart for what you do, and they can always remember you in prayer as you go out there and fight the cause of Christ. Please come to pray for us. God bless you. Thank you for allowing us to come. God bless you.
Thank you so much, preacher, pastor, and all brethren for letting me stand here again in this evening. I forgot some things to mention about. Yeah, I have family, because some of you asked me, are you still single? I'm not single at all. I'm 46 years old with two children. Day after tomorrow, I'm going back to my country, Burma, on the behalf of you, on your behalf. When you started supporting me, some of you might have remember still, two churches only were running through my ministry. But now, including my main church, seven local churches are running. And one church is to be born soon again, because we have people already, but we just name the name yet. So it will be eight soon. There is possibility. The country, Burma, is confined to the gospel. I said, close to the gospel. We are not allowed to publicly share the gospel, but no one can conceal the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working. Please continue in your prayer for me. As a pastor, my job is to feed my flocks. At the same time, to protect them from wolves. This pragmatic, deadly Christianity is taking over the whole country. Christianity is weakening by this false pragmatic Christianity. I used to fight by preaching and by writing books. So there in our country, people don't call me Silas anymore. They call me Serious. Yeah, it's good. About the gospel is the most serious thing, right? We'll continue doing it. Please pray for me one more. Thank you so much for giving me a chance.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Sirius. We're so glad you've been with us. That's a good one. I like that. And he is all of that, too. He is Sirius. As much as Michael is not Sirius, he is Sirius. Amen. You got to have contrast. We have a tremendous contrast between those two personalities, let me tell you. But it is a joy to be with them and to serve them, serve the Lord by helping them get around and run errands. And Brother Michael, he's something else now, this guy. He can't take enough stuff back. If he could, he'd take half of America back with him. He's got about two-thirds of it already packed up, ready to go. And we went over here to your thrift store, Pastor. And he didn't know everything was free to missionaries. So he's pulling all these coats off. He had about five suits. He said, I need these. I really need these, you know. Yeah, all right. Big pile on the floor. He picks them up, takes them up to the gal who's checking them out. And I said, hey, tell them that. She says, he was looking at something else. And she said, we don't charge missionaries. This is all free. I said, well, tell him it's $25. Would you do that? Just to see his reaction. Okay, so she's scared, you know. She's right there. He walks up. She says, it's $25. He goes, oh, wow, I didn't know that. She says, I'm just kidding. Oh, boy, he's relieved, you know. So then he has to find a luggage bag, right? I'm telling everything I knew, but it's my last chance. We went to five thrift stores trying to find him a piece of luggage. This guy's driving me crazy, I'm telling you. So, praise the Lord. I think he's got one now. So, good. Turn to Acts chapter 14, if you would. We have a good time, I'm telling you. If you can't have a good time serving God, you're in the wrong business. Amen? I'd hate to get up and be Mr. Serious every day. That's good to know. Let's all stand together, if you would, please, just for a moment, and let's read a few verses. I want to point out three verses that the Lord you know how you read through the Bible, you don't see things, and all of a sudden, bang, there they are. That happened here with me, and the Lord just spoke to my heart and blessed my heart with this thought. I'm just going to try to drive one thought home to it tonight. I think that we'll get it. A few minutes we have left here. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. You remember now that Paul and Barnabas had been sent out in chapter 13 to be first world missionaries, you might say, for the early church. They're in Antioch. Now they're coming back to report to the church, much like these gentlemen have just done. In verse 27, it says, "When they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Well, in chapter 15, there were some Judaizers that said you've got to be circumcised to be saved. And they went down to Jerusalem, went up to Jerusalem to discuss the thing. In verse 4 of chapter 15, it says, "And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them." Now, they had a little more discussion between verse 4 and verse 12, but in verse 12 it says, "Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them." Father, we thank you, for your blessings on our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to serve you. We pray tonight that you would just touch our hearts, Lord, as we think about what you want to do through us and with us. We pray your blessing upon this preaching now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Did you notice the term that keeps cropping up in those three verses? It says in verse 27, "They rehearsed all that God had done with them." Then in verse 4 of the next chapter, it says, "Declared all things that God had done with them." Then the last part of verse 12, it says, "Miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them." Now, we want to talk about what God does with us. The problem a lot of times with us as believers, whether it be preachers or college students or anybody that does anything for the Lord, we kind of get the ideas that, you know, we have done something for God, and that God, we have to use God to get something done, you know. And we have the idea that we got God in our hand and say, "God, now we want you to do this, we want you to do that, we want you to do this." But that's not the idea that Paul had here. It says, Paul said he rehearsed all that God had done with them. God is the one. First, there's three simple points. Number one, it's all about God. God did it. All that God had done, all the miracles, wonders God had done. It was important for the Jews to understand that God had opened the door to the Gentiles. It wasn't Paul that opened the door to the Gentiles. It wasn't Barnabas. It wasn't the church at Antioch. God opened that door to the Gentiles. And folks, God is constantly opening doors around the world, not just through health ministries, but many other ministries out there as well that God is using. And God wants to use you to open doors that are closed. God can only do that. He can only open the heart of a person to believe and have faith in him. It was in Jerusalem that Paul first mentioned the miracles and wonders that God had done. And that meant a lot to the Jews, because the Bible says the Jews seek after a sign. And Gentiles seek after wisdom. And so he said, "Now listen, the miracles that you've seen Jesus do were done among the Gentiles." That just proves that God is at work in their lives. Listen, anytime anybody gets saved, that's a miracle. Brother Nixon gave me a book that he wrote about a number of people that present day, I guess, heroes of the faith. Brother Scotty, you're in there. Amen. He says, I like to embarrass you, brother. He's such a humble guy. He really is. But he's a great man, too. I love him. But I was reading the story of Brother Donahue. Where is Brother Donahue? Where is he? He's over here somewhere. There he is. What a tremendous testimony, you know, of the grace of God saving him from a life of drinking and all kinds of problems that he had. But, you know, God wants to do something with you. We don't have a whole lot to offer. I remember when I was 14 years old, I was at a camp, a Christian camp, summer camp, and we had a guy that preached just the house down every night. It was tremendous. But as a teenager, I was just, God really touched my heart. And around the campfire on the Friday night at the end of the conference, end of the camp, we would share testimonies. And I remember the Lord speaking to my heart. And I said yes to the Lord that night. Now, I'd been saved since I was 6 years old, but I didn't surrender until I was about 15. I was starting to write music back then, and I'd written about 10 songs that didn't glorify the Lord at all. And I knew I came to a crossroads in my life. Am I going to serve God, or am I going to serve myself? I made a decision that night. Lord, I don't know what I have to offer you. I don't know if I can do anything for you, but here I am. Just surrender to you. If you can use me, use me. I thank the Lord that in a measure he has, and I thank the Lord for that. But, you know, I wanted God to do something with me. We can't spend our time trying to manipulate God. Sometimes we don't pray very biblically. Do you know that? How many times, and I'm guilty of this like anybody else, do we kind of order God around to do this, that, and the other thing? Now, God, we want you to do this, and you've got to do that, and you just got to do it this way, and you got to do it that way. And the guys are saying, God, you just got to get me a wife. I mean, I'm nearing the end of my college years. I ain't got one yet. There's nobody on the horizon. And the ladies are saying the same thing about the guys. Amen? Can I give you all a piece of advice? Real simple. Wait on the Lord. Don't look for them. Let God bring them to you. That way you know you got the right one. Amen? You say, well, I don't know how he's going to do it. But there's a lot of things you don't know. You'll figure it out when it happens. Let me tell you. God will do it. Amen? We don't have to manipulate God. We don't have to tell God what to do. He knows exactly what he wants to do. And we need to say, God, here I am. I put myself in your hands. You do something with me. Instead of us grasping God and trying to get the job done, why don't we let God grasp us and say, here's where I want you. That's where I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go. That's the person I want you to witness to. That's the person you're going to minister to here. It was all about God. It was not about them. Oh, listen, that thought just ought to humble us when we consider what we are, who he is, and that he still wants to use us to do the work of the ministry and reaching other people. Oh, but thirdly, it's not only all about God and not about us, but God wants to do something with us. That's the miracle of it all, isn't it? That here we are sinners. We don't have much to offer God except a bunch of rags, our rags of self-righteousness. And God says, oh, but I want to change you, and I want to use you, and I've got a job for you to do that you have no idea what's coming down the pike. That's one thing that, you know, when I was in college, I didn't really know what God wanted me to do. I had some possibilities. I had someone offer me a place to go and be a music director at a big church. I really wanted to do that. But the Lord said no. And I wanted to be a missionary in the foreign field. I made application to go to New Zealand as a missionary. But they said, oh, you've got to teach in a Bible college. I said, well, if you want to do that, you've got to teach 1 year somewhere in the United States first. I said, okay. That's out for a while. So I just, while everybody was, all these other guys were taking churches and going to missions, I went home and worked with my daddy. Tied myself to my mother's apron strings for a few years. That's how I felt about it, you know. Boy, I got to go back home. But the Lord used all that. First of all, he used it to give me a wife. That was worth it. Sometimes you think God puts you on a shelf or you're doing something, not everybody else is doing this. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. Or measure yourself by yourself. That's not wise, the Bible says. God has given everybody something to do, and it's a little different than everybody else because he gives everybody different abilities, different personalities. And if we would just say, God, I don't know what it is. You haven't called me to do what he wants because he's him and I'm me. So, God, whatever you got for me to do, have at it. Put your fingers around me. Put me in your hand. Move me. Do what you want to do with me, and I'll be just as happy as can be. I want you to think about this as a God's toolbox. How many of you have a toolbox at your house? Bunch of people have toolboxes. Now, how many actually have something in your toolbox? Okay, all right. Now, if you have teenage boys around, you probably have a toolbox. There's probably nothing in it, scattered all over the backyard, right? But, you know, you have tools. You have certain tools in that toolbox for a certain purpose. You have a hammer to drive nails. Some people drive screws with them. I've done that before, too. Amen? Very difficult, but, it does work. But you have screwdrivers, and you have wrenches, and you have impact wrenches, and all kinds of stuff that you have. And the more you're involved in it, the more tools you have. But every tool is made for a purpose. It was created because of a need. And so, you say, well, I needed this tool to turn this nut or this screw, and if I don't have the right one, it's not going to fit. And, you need a Phillips head screwdriver, and all you got is a straight one. And so you got to turn it at angles. You got to try to muscle it around. How many of them have done that before? Yeah, we all have, you know. But it's nice to have the right kind of tool. It goes a lot faster. It goes a lot easier. Well, think about this. God has a toolbox. It's called the local church. And in its toolbox, he's got a lot of tools. He's got all of you. He's got all of us. Each one's different. Each one's got a different function in the church. Aren't you glad everybody's not a Sunday school teacher? You wouldn't have any Sunday school classes. Not everybody's a preacher. You need some teachers. So not everybody's a... We all ought to be soul winners, ought to be witnesses. Everybody ought to be a witness. But, God's given us different things to do. Some ride drive buses, some do this, some do that. Everybody's got a job to do. And when you get out to you college students, when you get out into life and you get your full-time ministry or whatever God part-time ministry maybe you start out as, a lot of us do, you've got a purpose. God's got something for you to do. And it's a wonderful thing to know. Now, look at God's toolbox just for a minute. Now, he needs a certain tool to reach a certain person. I mean, there's some people who have lived some wicked lives out there who have gotten saved, and then God turned them around. Hey, Brother Donahue back there, he was just a wicked Catholic, right? Hey, you know what? I bet there's some wicked Catholics that live around here. I'll bet he knows how to talk to them. Amen? He can identify with them. And we all have people that we can identify with. There are some people that have life-threatening diseases. I just wonder how many people here have had cancer. How many have diabetes? How many have been in the hospital, almost on death's door, been in comas? All kinds of things. You know, you have an inroad to people just like that. You could go to the hospitals. You could have a great ministry there. Just take a rose around everybody and say, you know what? I just went through some terrible surgeries, and I know what you're going through, and I just want to tell you that you can make it and that God loves you, and I want to just tell you about Jesus, how he changed my life. You could do that. And they're not going to say anything to you because you say, I've been through this, and you tell them about your surgery, you tell them about your problem and everything, they'll say, boy, I'm so glad you came by because I'm scared to death. I got to go into surgery tomorrow. Oh, there's all kinds. People in false religions. Some of you are from false religions. You can talk to people. You understand where they are coming from. And God calls the willing-hearted to be missionaries in foreign lands and others to be pastors and evangelists to their own people here. God's... calls some to go and God calls some to send. And everybody can have a part, either one of those. God hasn't called everybody to be foreign missionaries. God needs people right here. Hey, America is a desperate need for good independent Baptist churches, let me tell you. I thank God for what God's doing in Florida. Just the last 2 or 3 months, we had a privilege of helping 2 churches in our area down South Florida there, Southwest Florida, started churches. I'll tell you, that's exciting. We started a church in Vermont, and I just got a tender spot in my heart for church planters. Because, you start off with nothing, basically. And you got to start building. And it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of visiting. And I just want to be encouragement to these these men who are starting out. One guy, this is his first church, a young man starting out. Another fella, he's almost he's retirement age, and he just came down from New York City, and he says, I'm going to start all over again down here in Florida. Wow. And I said, brother, I'm going to be there. When you going out visiting? When you do your mass distribution of stuff, my wife and I are going to be there to help you. And we were. And we had just had a wonderful time. Just seeing these churches get started. The first services this older gentleman had, he says, man, he says, we're meeting in a motel. He says, a lady came down upstairs that was here from the hurricanes and so forth, and she came and walked the aisle and got saved, first service, and brought somebody with her. They got saved. Two ladies got saved first Sunday, he said. And man, you're off to a grand start. I tell you. Wonderful. But see, God uses different people to do different things. And God looks into his box, his toolbox, and he sees all these different people. And you know what you can do in God's toolbox that your toolbox at home can't do? Is that you can stick your hand up out of the box and say, here am I, use me. Here am I, send me. You know, sometimes we use our tools and they get all dirty. And they get all oily and chunky. And we wipe them off, we clean them, and they get dirty again. But you know, a dirty tool is a used tool. It's okay. If you're kind of worn out in the ministry, you're kind of down and out, God has got a plan for you, and it's okay because, you know, when you get dirty in the ministry, that's a good thing. Just keep serving God and just let God do his work in your heart and life. I think of some missionaries who have struggled. And God is using them, and they get kind of discouraged sometimes. And I was reading the story of Jonathan Goforth to China back in the 1800s. One of the great missionaries, we talk about it. But, you know, he had a very depressing time in his life. He was there for a number of years, and he had graduated from a Bible college in Canada. And one of his buddies that was over there, a guy named McGilvery, came over to help him, about the same age, these young men. And they were learning the language. And Goforth was there. He'd been there for a year more than McGilvery had. But in just a short time, McGilvery caught on to the Chinese language, and he was speaking better than Jonathan Goforth. This really bothered Goforth because the people would say, let McGilvery speak to us. We understand him. Don't let Goforth speak to us. He said, I've been here longer than he has, a lot longer than he has, and he learned it faster than I did. Man, and he was depressed. He's discouraged about it. One day, he's getting ready to go to a meeting. And he told his wife, he says, honey, I don't know what's going to happen. If I can't get this language soon, and he just had problems with little idioms and little just different parts of the language, it was just not clicking in his mind. But he told his wife, he says, if I can't get this language soon, there's no point in us staying here. I don't know what we're going to do. Then he went off to the meeting. Well, he got to the meeting, and they asked him to come speak. He stood up, and he started speaking his broken Chinese, and all of a sudden, it just clicked in his mind. And he was speaking perfect Chinese. He was surprised. He was shocked at what was happening. But see, you got to understand what was going on. And just a few months later, he got a letter from the college back where he was going to college, where he graduated from. And they told him, they said, you know, on a certain day, we felt impressed. One of the leaders of the college said, I felt impressed to ask the college students to meet after lunch. In a certain room, they met in a certain room. He says, let's pray for Goforth. I just feel so burdened. We've got to pray for him. We've got to pray for him now. And all the kids got together, a number of them got together, and they poured their hearts out to God and cried out to God. And said, God, we don't know what it is, but help Jonathan Goforth. Help him, whatever it is. Maybe he's in danger. And they prayed, and that was the exact same hour that God gave him that language. Let me tell you something. There's a partnership that goes on in missions. It's not just the glory of going. It's the glory of keeping them there through your prayers, through your financial giving as well. That's so important. We can send them, but it's hard to keep them there sometimes. Amen? And some missionaries have to come back from the field because their churches drop them for support. Oh, let's not let that happen here. Amen? Let's just keep it up. And I thank God for your missions budget. I understand your consternation, Pastor. that's a lot to overcome here. You're not the third yet. But, you know, God is able. Heard about a preacher who said, you know, we got a building program. We need so much money to do it. He says, I've got some good news and bad news. He says the good news is that the money's already raised. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. Well, I'll tell you, that's the way it is sometimes. Oh, listen, but we just got to say, okay, God, what are you going to do with me? I want you to do something with me. Lord, I put myself in your hands. Hey, I even put my pocketbook in your hands. Amen. My wallet in your hands. Lord, you give through me. You do what you want to do in my life. You know, that's a kind of attitude that we need to have as we do in the work of God. Let me ask you, first of all, are you in the toolbox? Are you a saved person? Do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? If Jesus Christ came today in the rapture, would you be one of the ones that are gone, or would you still be sitting in the chair you're in? If you are in the toolbox, why don't you just stick your hand up there every once in a while and say, God, would you put me in your hand and use me? That's what Paul said. They said, here is what God did with us. They surrendered themselves to God. The hardest part of serving the Lord is the matter of surrender. Because every one of us have things we want to do, places we want to go, things we think should be done right certain ways. And we're just telling God, Lord, you can't call me to do that because I'm just not able to do that. Well, when I was a teenager, the Lord hadn't called me to preach back then, but my dad insisted we preach anyhow. So, but in our youth meetings and stuff, somebody had to preach, so us boys did it, you know. But I used to stand up there, and my knees were knocking. I was stuttering like crazy. I couldn't talk. I was scared to death. I said, oh, I don't ever want to do this again. Please, Lord. But, you know, when God calls you, he enables you. And he helps you. If you put yourself in the hand of God, let God use you. What does God want to do with you? He does something for us in salvation. Salvation is what he does for us. Service is what God does with us. And if we would just allow him to have the power to make the decisions in our lives, we can live a happy life. Many people are not happy. Many people don't live happy lives. I'm talking about Christian people. Because they've never surrendered. They never said, God, whatever you want to do with my life, that's okay with me. I'm willing. You call me, I'll go. You tell me to stay, I'll stay. I'm not going to measure with myself or anybody else. Just what you want me to do. I'm just going to look at you, Lord, and I'm going to put myself in your hand and let you move me and direct my life any way you want to do it. And Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, I'll be a missionary on the foreign field. If you want me to be a missionary across the street, I'll go across the street. By the way, I don't think missionaries are worth very much across the sea until they first of all go across the street at home. I had a young lady talk to me the other day in a church. She's about 21 years old, just newly saved pretty much. She got this idea. She heard about missions, and she got this idea she wants to be a missionary. The pastor said, she's going to ask you a question. She's going to ask you, what do you have to do to be a missionary? Because I told her you're a missionary, and she wants to know how to be a missionary. And so she's going to ask you this. And she did. And, you know, I didn't say go to Bible college. I didn't say go across the sea. I says get involved in your local church right where you are. I said, we're going to see you in church tonight. She says, well, I've got this birthday party I've got to go to. She's not ready yet. She's not ready yet. I said, you can go to the birthday party, put your face in there, and you can come to church. Amen? Hey, we can do anything we really want to do. Most of the time we do. Amen? Oh, let's ask God to first of all work in our hearts. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you need Jesus. You're a mission field. You're a mission field. Jesus needs to come into your heart and make it change your life. The message this morning was powerful about Jesus, wasn't it? How to be saved. Just clear, crystal clear. And if you're not saved, you need to be saved tonight. Don't put it off. If you're saved and you haven't yet put yourself in God's hand, you need to just come to this altar and say, God, here I am. I've never done this before, but I want to say, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, whatever you want to do with me, I don't care. I'm just surrendering to you every area of my life. And let God, and see what God will start doing in your life. We can surrender. God can do great and mighty things. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you for your wonderful love to us. We thank you that while we were sinners, you died for us. Father, if our life were to end tonight, we would still owe you everything, and you would still owe us nothing. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to breathe your air, to walk on your earth, to try to be a blessing to people, till you take us home, and it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. And all the problems of this life will be gone. We won't even give them a second thought. So God, help us to focus on Jesus and what you want us to do, and then place ourselves in your hands and let you do with us what you want to do with us. We ask your blessing this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Mission Conference. Messages like you just heard deal with people that are saved, deals with us about being sold out to God, being willing to serve him, putting him before our own desires. The analogy of being one of his tools in his toolbox, so good. What a great picture that is. A toolbox has different tools in it, as the preacher said. One tool can do a job another tool can't do. We ought to quit trying to tell God what kind of tool we want to be and just tell him we're willing for him to use us. Tremendous analogy there, tremendous picture for us. If you're here and you're unsaved, we'd be glad to show you how to be saved, but the message tonight's been to those that are saved. It's been about doing what God wants us to do. Holding the line in prayer and in support for the missionaries on the field. They come tell us a little bit about what it is in their lives and ministry, but we can't quite get it all. But I'll tell you this, they're worthy of our prayers and our support. That's what our mission giving's all about. Lead us in something, brother, and this will be our invitation. Easier to sing that than it is to do it. But if you really have that desire in your heart, God will help you do it. The old devil will tell you, you can't give this up and give that up, but you really get right with God, you won't miss anything that you give up for that the world has. God always replaces it with something better. We hear a lot of bad news about all the sin that's shaking our nation today. All the hypocrisy and fakery and all the business that's going on. To have a peace of God in your heart and being right with Him, living a clean Christian life, there's no price tag the world can put on that. It's something they don't have. It's something they can't pay enough to get. You're rich in the Lord if you have that. Amen. Thank you, Brother Nickenbacher. That's good for us tonight. Mission.